The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Friday evening's action in Dundalk. Well, it's a Friday. What else did you expect? My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is William Hill Radio's Irish Racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, mate.
Good man. Same old in Dundalk, really, isn't it? Same horses back out. Competitive stuff, as you'd expect. Are you looking forward to it tonight?
Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah, lots of competitive races. One or two nice maidens. Yeah, a couple of decent bets on the card as well. I feel a little bit more confident to do that this time last week.
Good. So you've got a few more confident selections in,
yeah? I would say so. Yeah, yeah. Told me the idea of napping one here tonight, but might be a little bit too skinny. My usual modus operandi is not to tip odds on shots. If they go odds on from odds against, then you can't do anything about it. But yeah, I'm trying to avoid sticking one in too short, but I think it might be odds on the one I really fancy tonight.
Okay, well, you can highlight that one as we go along. The 6-5, though, is the first race. This is a handicap over 5 furlongs, and the market headed this morning by Strategic Heights, who's 9-4. 5-2 for Majestic Timeline, Sylvan Mist, 4-1. 6 for Cottrell, 8 for Bought for a Song. Cat Will Do, there's been a little bit of a nibble on that. 10s into 9s and 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. You could make a case for quite a few of these, Andy. There's several in here that have been running fairly well at the course of late. Which one do you like in the 6-5?
Well, it's a classic case of bingo on legs, isn't it, this race? They all take their turn to beat each other. And they're all pretty much similar. They all run to a similar standard given the run of the race and whatever side of their bed they've got out, basically, these 5 furlong sprinters is often the case here at Dundalk. We've got the main three in the betting have all run against each other in recent times, Strategic Heights, Majestic Timeline, Silver Mist. And there's not a great deal to choose between them, given their very best form. I'll deal with Strategic Heights first. He's a front runner. He knows only one way of running. And when he does dominate, usually he's very difficult to beat, as he proved 2 starts ago when he beat the aforementioned Majestic Timeline and Silver Mist, who were both at every chance. But then on the next start, he got to the front, had an uncontested lead, and he got mowed down by Your Pal Tal and Majestic Timeline in the latter stages, something that was a bit of a shock to the system because I thought he was a decent bet that night. So basically, your guess is as good as mine what Strategic Heights is going to do. We know he's capable of making all. He's got a great draw again. And Donico O'Brien, obviously, who's on him again, has got a fair association with this horse. So I'm going to give him another go, Strategic Heights. Just because of his draw and the fact that Majestic Timeline's drawn in stall 7, that might make life difficult for that particular mare, who could have been drawn a little bit closer to where Strategic Heights is. And if anyone's going to pick up the pieces, it's going to be Sylvan Mist. She's also a very consistent mare. She likes a strong run 5. She's going to get that tonight. And Pat Smullen's in stall 2. So that should allow him to track the pace where Strategic Heights go. So it's a fairly easy race to sort of like eye up and weigh up and see, and to sort of work out where they're going to be turning into the home straight. Strategic Heights will be in front. He'll be on that far side rail. It's just whether he's got enough toe to see off Sylvan Mist, he'll track him, and Majestic Timeline as well, who will probably be stuck out somewhere down the middle of the course. So, fascinating opener. Strategic Heights just about gets a vote for me.
Okay. On to the second race, which is the 6:35, and this is the Elusive Pimpernel Maiden, which is a 6 furlong maiden, and Song of Love is the 4-7 market leader, 2-1 for a few dollars more, 5 Claw is 6-1, 20s for Mayakoba, 25-1 for Best Kept Secret, and 66-1 for Diamonds at Gertie. Ripped is a non-runner here, number 4 on the card. Just starting with a favourite here, Andy, Song of Love. A decent effort last time when runner up over a mile, so what do you make of this drop to 6 furlongs?
Yeah, that's the only slight question mark, and that's one of the reasons why, if you like, I'm not going to nap this at a short price. I think he'll win this race, because I just think he's by far and away the best in the lineup. But there are one or two sort of horses just niggling away at the back of my mind, and the trip drop that just prevents me from making him a really strong bet at his odds. Obviously, a few dollars more, has run reasonably well on 2 starts, and at least has got the speed to cope with this kind of trip tonight. Good eye-catching run beyond aggression on his last start, and that figure that race is pretty good. But then you've got the likes of Five Claw from the Halford stable, and Maya Cobra as well, who also caught the eye with a late finish the other day for the Pat Flynn stable. Very rare runner from the Michael Tabor stable for that yard. I think there's a bit of promise for that horse. But Song of Love was such a good run here last week behind RF. He looked the automatic choice. He did all his best work at the end, which is a bit of a surprise why he's dropped in trip. But obviously, there's not many maidens probably that this horse can run in recent in the next few weeks. So perhaps Aidan O'Brien's just basically trying to strike while the iron's hot. He's got a great draw. And if he gets into a good rhythm and a good position early on, he should be good enough for this lot, because his number the other day was a really good one behind that Mickey Halford horse. So he sets a really high standard for the rest to shoot at. 4-7, he probably actually might drift out a little bit better than that, but either way, which way you strip it down, he's very much the one to beat in the second.
Favourite one to beat in the second race then. The 705 is the third race on the card. This is a handicap for four-year-olds and older rated 47-65. This one's over 7 furlongs, and Stoichkov has been supported at the top of the market, 9-2 into 4-1 at the time of recording this. Bishan Bedi is 9-2, 5-1 for Fairy Foxglove. Enigma Code is 5-1 as well. 7s for Catalpa, 8-1 for Moss Nation. Belts and Braces 12s with Merry Maston 16-1. Or bigger prices for the others. One of the more open races on the card, and the 705. So help us out here.
Yeah, one or two unknown quantities here. Quite a few having their Irish debuts and handicap debuts, and quite a few of them haven't run for a while. But we'll deal with the front two in the market, the two standard bearers anyway, in recent runs, and that's Stoichkov and Fairy Foxglove. Stoichkov, of course, took this race last year, and he took a while to actually get his name back on the winner's board after a long losing run, but he finally popped up 5 starts ago, and that's very much the story of Michael Cleary's 7-year-old. He's just a very difficult horse to predict. Only Stoichkov will know whether he's on a going night, and if he is, obviously he's going to be very difficult to contend with in this race. He's got a great draw, and Keith Quinn knows how to ride this horse. He's been riding him in recent times, and a good forceful ride from the inside. He's likely to see him very hard to beat down the lane, but if anything is going to beat him, it's going to be this Fairy Foxglove, a horse which I've tipped a few times on the podcast recently. She's just a real model of consistency, a horse that I do love backing each way. She's been placed 5 times in 7 runs here at Dundalk, and most notably, last four runs, she's always been in the frame here at this venue. And she likes a strongly run race, and I just felt as though things didn't quite pan out for her last week. The jockey, Dono O'Connor, did the right thing. He got her out the stalls, got her into a good position. Fortunately, he actually found himself in front on this mare, which is not exactly how she wants to be ridden. She likes to be ridden just in behind the pace and come with a bit of a late run. And she got softened up when Waterloo Sunrise took her on down the back straight, and it just forced her to go a stride or too quick down the back, and it meant that in the latter stages, she just didn't have enough in the tank to see off Norville and Gold Tantrum. But it was still a good effort. Her figures are unbelievably consistent here. I always get her doing high 80s times or mid 80s times on my numbers, which is a really good standard. It's just hard to see not being in the frame here. 5-1 with William Hill, that rate's a good bet. Obviously, we don't know much about Bishan Bedi. First run for Noose Connections used to be Willie Jarvis in the UK, but obviously keep an eye on the market on that particular horse. So Stoichkov, sure to make a bold bid to win the race for the second year in succession, but I'm going to have to stick with Fairy Foxglove each way. Looks sure to be in the frame, and also looks a good bet on the place-only market, on the pro market.
OK. Fairy Foxglove to hit the frame in the 705 then. The 735 is the fourth race on the card. We're back into maiden company for this one, and it's an apprentice maiden as well, over a mile. And Saga Diamond heads the market at 15-8, 5-2 for Pirate's Penny. El Demi is 5-1, 7-1 for Balmont Blast. My Mai is 9-1, 11s for Smiler, and 25-1 on bigger prices for the others. Just starting with Saga Diamond, Andy, she's run 2 credible races in defeat so far. Nice debut at Fairy House, decent third here as well last time when drawn in 14 and had to do a lot of early work. So the better draw this evening, do you see that paying off, and she might get ahead in front at the third time of asking?
Yeah, we've got very limited bits of form to go on here. Quite a few of these have been out of nick, and I don't think much of these are much cop, really. It's a really weak maiden, so it's not going to take a great deal of winning. That's run of Saga Diamonds here last time out. It was a reasonable one on the figures. The form hasn't exactly worked out all that well, and the disappointing carry bouquet rather gives that form a bit of a dodgy look to it. So I'm not totally convinced by James Barrett's 4-year-old filly. I'm going to go with Pirate's Penny here as an alternative to Saga Diamond. been putting around about the 5-2 mark this morning. Not a particularly fantastic price if you break it down, but there isn't that many you can fancy in this race, as I said at the top of the preview. So I do think she's likely to be there or thereabouts. Her first run was a good eye-catching run behind Robin's Choice in a race that was run at a reasonable gallop. And the fact that she was slowly away and did all her best work at the end suggested that she should improve for the run, and B, she might improve for a step-up in trip. So it was a bit of a shock to the system to find her dropping in backing distance next time out. And no great surprise to see her get outpaced by Togerville in a slowly run race, which was dictated by Gary Cowell from the front. He kicked on the five-year-old and basically like made it into a three-furlong sprint. And no surprise to see Pirate's Penny get left well behind. But she did keep on quite well for pressure to be never near at the finish. And I definitely think that a step back up to a mile or so, I actually think she probably wants a little bit further in time. She's slightly bred on the dam side. So this should be perfect for her tonight. Back up to a mile, decent draw. And Andrew Oliver's horses at this Dundalk Carnival over the winter have been in fantastic form.
Okay, Pirate's Penny then for Andy in the 7.35. The 8.05 is the fifth race on the card. This one is a handicap over a mile. And Togerville heads the market at 13-8. It's 5-2 from 3-1 for Equation of Time. Have a Nice Day, 5s. 6s for 6 Silver Lane. Odyssey is 9-1, 12-1, or bigger prices for the others. Togerville's in pretty good nick at the moment, Andy. And his win last time was pretty easy. He's up £7, and this is probably a more difficult race. So what do you make of him as the 13-8 favourite?
I think he's a worthy favourite, Mark. He's definitely the selection here. I've got a bit of a soft spot for this Togerville. Tipped him and napped him last time out on the podcast, and he got the job done in fairly convincing fashion. And that was off the back of several good runs previously throughout the winter. He's run the time before when he got nutted. Was courtesy of him getting taken on or being involved in the hottest part of the race in the early exchanges. But ridden the way he was last time out, sliding along from the front, you know, he's virtually impossible to beat turning for home, and he made no mistake of that penalty kick which was presented to him. Obviously he's got dangers aplenty in this race, most notably Equation of Time. Garvin Donnelly's 6-year-old has certainly been knocking at the door recently, and he intimated he might be ready to strike when setting up a furious pace here last time out, which in the end went the way of Tennessee Wildcat. That was a very good time, and if ridden it a little bit more patiently, I do think that 6-year-old could take a hand in the finish. But Togerville is just such a horse I like. He sticks his neck out, he tries very hard, and he's got some really good numbers next to his name. And I do think it's Georgios Pakidis who trained him as well. He's definitely a trainer worth keeping on the right side of. Cypriot-based trainer who's now making a good fist of it over in Dundalk. Several of his runners have run really well at this campaign, most notably headed by Togerville, who I think will keep the bandwagon rolling.
Togerville then for Andy in that race. The 8.35 is the penultimate race this evening. We have a handicap here over the extended mile and a quarter for four-year-olds and older rated. 47 to 65. Eloge is the 3-1 market leader. 100-30 for Pepper Pot. Bomber Jackson is 5-1. Mystical Past is 8s, but that one is a reserve. Krakora is 10s and 12-1, or bigger prices for the others. I thought Eloge were quite interesting here, Andy, given the fact that she might have won last time had she not wandered all over the place in the closing stages, and having the benefit of professional handling in Chris Hayes this time. Do you see that making a difference?
Yeah, she drifted to and fro down the home straight at Dundalk. It was almost like watching one of my rounds of golf, sort of zigzagging in and out of the bushes. And Eloge is unbelievably unlucky not to win here last week. I mean, she had basically had the race in safekeeping, but she slalomed and snaked her way down the straight. She went left, she went right, and Christina Simpson, her rider, I think she almost thought there was flags on the course and trying to like slalom in and out of them, because you know, she went from being 4 or 5 lengths clear, looking all over the winner, to end up getting beat 3/4 of a length. It was a real crying shame that Andrew Oliver's filly lost, because she looked the best horse in the race by a distance that day. And it wouldn't have been winning out of turn either, this Elnadin filly, because the time before she fly leapt out of the stalls and absolutely almost nutted her head on the superstructure, gave away an absolute mountain of distance, and managed to actually finish 5th, which was a huge effort. Prior to that, she'd won in comfortable fashion, certainly suggesting that she's going to be a force to be reckoned with off her current handicap mark. And she gets a chance to race off 62, the mark that she began last week. Dropping back in trip shouldn't inconvenience her. In fact, I think it should improve her chances. And with Chrissy Haynes taking over, of course, from Christina Simpson, there's every chance that this Eloge will go in here tonight. Doesn't look a particularly strong race. Yes, she can make cases out for plenty, including Pepper Pot and, of course, the recent winner Bomber Jackson. But Eloge, surely this time, this is hers to lose. if she's ridden a little bit more conservatively and is keeping in a straight line down the straight, she's definitely the one to beat.
Okay, Eloge the one to beat. In the 8:35, the final race this evening is the 9:05. We finish here with a handicap over a mile and a half. And good old Char Jars in the lineup and at the top of the market as well at 9:04. 5-2 for Eye of the Tiger. Havelock Ellis is 7-2. 9-2 for Ned's Indian. And 11-1 or bigger prices for the others. Any regular listeners, Andy, will know you have quite a soft spot for Char Jar. Are you siding with him this evening?
Oh, this is a heartbreaking race for me. My two favourite horses running here at Dundalk both clash against each other. It's almost like Ali and Fraser again, the big heavyweight contest between Sharjah and Ned's Indian. Of course, I went for Ned's Indian last time that these two horses clashed, and Sharjah came along and chinned me. Not only did he chin me, Ned's Indian, who I advised each way, finished out the frame, which didn't seem possible with the dead eight runners and the way the race panned out, but unfortunately, Ned's Indian got taken on for the lead the last day, and he rather got softened up a bit. So it all depends about the tactics here. Often these races can be run similarly, but sometimes there is a bit of a lean one way to the other. I think they're definitely the two to concentrate on here. I think you can probably split your bets up here, considering the betting is giving you a chance to do so. Sharjah has just been an unbelievably consistent horse. What a game and brave horse this is. He's won four times here at the Dundalk Carnival, but a whole host of, you know, really good, solid placed efforts in defeat. It's hard to see Andrew Slattery's horse running badly unless he's feeling the effects of such an arduous campaign. He's almost like a marine, this horse. He just keeps coming back for more week in, week out. Mile and a half now, he's proven that he stays the trip as well as the mile and a quarter, which he was fully effective over previously. And who's to say that he can't go in again? So I'd just split my stakes here. My loyalty definitely lies with Sharjah, but also Ned's Indian as well. And Ned's Indian is available to back at a whopping 9-2 this morning. Much better odds than he was here last time out. So I think it's between the pair again. So rather than having a heartbreaking situation, I'm going to split my stakes and go with Sharjah and Ned's Indian in the last.
Okay, yeah. Sharjah's figures are remarkable this winter as well, by the way. He's only once finished out with the first two and 9 starts at Dundalk this winter, and he's won 4 of them and finished 2nd on the other 4, so remarkably consistent, isn't he? So,
oh, I love him. Yeah. Absolutely. What's not to like about him, like I said on previous podcasts, he just does everything that a racehorse should do. Goes about his work, always gives you a great run for your money. You know what you're going to get back in charge are, so, you know, he's going to be the one to beat again.
Mm. Right, let's have a quick summary then, Andy, if you'll spin us through your thoughts for Dundalk one more time.
Yeah, decent card tonight at Dundalk with quite a few family favourites in the lineup. First of all, I'll go with Strategic Heights, not with a great deal of confidence. I don't think you can be with these five furlong handicappers. You never really know what to expect, but he's drawn his stall one. He should get an uncontested lead, and that's when Strategic Heights is at his best. So it's definitely on a plate for him there. In the 6:35, Song of Love was a massive eye-catcher here last week. Dropping back down in trips, a little bit of a concern, but he should have enough class to come through in that particular maiden. And the 7:05 has to be Fairy Flocks Club again. A model of consistency, always in the frame. I don't think he'll have any dangers backing her each way and not expect to at least draw your money back. And the 7:35, I like the way that Pirate's Penny shaped on debut and then over 7 furlongs last time out, also caught the eye. Back up to a mile, he should go well there. In the 8:05, I'm sticking with the informed Togerville. Hopefully he'll make all the running, but if not, then tactically he's versatile, so he shouldn't mind either way. Allows us hugely unlucky not to win over a mile and a half here last week. But Chrissy Hayes takes over and a drop back in trip should suit that particular filly. And in the final race, the big clash of the night, once again, is the next round in the Sharjah and Ned's Indian battle. And rather than go for one over the other, I'm going to back both against the field.
Fantastic. Good work, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy the action in Dundalk this evening.
Will do. Thanks, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.